Man, so turn to Acts 3. You know, I love to hear stories of transformation. I love to hear what God is doing all the time. In fact, myself, I love rooting for the underdog. I don't know why. I love rooting for the guy that has nothing. That's why I like Hollywood movies like, you know what, Rocky, you know, where the underdog, the guy's got nothing, he's got no hope to really go anywhere. Or even like, you know, the Karate Kid, right? Or remember the Titans, those kind of movies. I mean, they sell. There's a reason Hollywood makes them, because there's other people like me that love to hear a story of transformation. And we see that in the book of Acts, time and time again. In the book of Acts, in second chapter, we see God transforming men who were fearful, men who were hiding. They were afraid that their lives were in danger, and they were. But they were hiding, and something about when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were bold. No longer did they care about their lives. Like, take my life, okay, but I'm going to be faithful to Him because He's been faithful to me. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. It transforms us. It transforms us personally, and it transforms us for building the kingdom of God when you're touched by God. And so what we see in Acts 3, which we're going to look at this evening, is we see men and women really who are touched by God who are now touching others with the healing power of the Spirit. That's the reason God touches you, is not so that you hoard it, but then you go out and touch other people. In Acts 3 is a story about a lame man. This guy had been lame from birth. Now he's like about 40 years old. And every day they're taking him, he's got his buddies that take him to the temple to beg. That was really his job. That's what he did. That's the way he provided for himself. Every day, his buddies, these are faithful buddies. Maybe his family sometimes would take him, and he would sit there at the gate beautiful, and he would beg. He would beg for a living. So sometimes when we read a story like this in the scriptures, we can just say, well, you know, I'm not lame, right? I don't have to beg. I've got a good job, a good career. This story doesn't really apply to me. But we don't understand really the scriptures when we do that. That really this guy symbolizes a lot of people. Really, he symbolizes some of the struggles that we see people around us have. There's people around us who are crippled by finances. They don't know how they're even going to get through this month. I'll tell you what, that's just as crippling to them as the guy who is at the temple day after day. Other people are crippled by illness. Other people are crippled by marital strife, maybe loneliness, maybe fear, maybe regret of the past. There's a lot of things that cripple us. So when we look at the story, we have to understand, wait a minute, it speaks to us. And it speaks to those outside of these four walls. But here's another thing about this man, and I think it speaks to us this way, that we can become like him. After 40 years of going and doing the same thing every day, begging. See, in his mind, he's thinking this is the way it will what? Forever be. See, his world had shrunk, as it were. His world had become limited. At least his expectations were limited. He didn't see beyond anything. He just thought, okay, this is it. This is it. I'll forever be lame. I'll forever be crippled by my circumstances. I'll forever just be asking for a handout. See, and I've met a lot of believers and non-believers that's their world. The world has shrunk to the point that they think this is just the way it is. And it'll be this way for the rest of my life. I believe God calls the church to talk to those kind of people. I think the Lord calls the church to go and approach those kind of people. So we may not be physically lame, but we're spiritual lame. Our view of God and God's plans have really shrunk. But here's what Acts 3 tells us, I believe. Acts 3 shows us that it takes nothing. Right? Even if you have nothing, if you say, you know, I don't have anything, God takes nothing and He makes something. That God can take nothing and He makes something, that the kingdom will move in power, that the kingdom can transform people. Because a lot of times we say, well, I don't have nothing. I don't have what it takes. But what you got to understand, that if you have nothing today, then you're perfect. Because God can take nothing and make something. So none of us is without excuse. So I'm going to look at four things that I see in this unstoppable Spirit-filled church in the book of Acts. And here's the first thing that you and I have to really move in. And it's the unstoppable church, the unstoppable Spirit-filled church moves in expectancy. What am I talking about? You guys kind of mentioned it. There was an expectation. I'm expecting God to move, so I'm going to take a nap. That's what I'm talking about. You already learned point number one. And so here, John and Peter, they're on their way to the temple, and they're bringing, like every day, this lame guy to come and beg. And let's see what we find in verse 4 of chapter 3. And fixing his eyes on him, John and Peter looked, and they said this. They said, "Look at us." They're trying to get this guy's attention. Hey, look at us, right? So the blind guy, or excuse me, not the blind guy, the lame guy, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Where'd the expectation come from? From God's people. See, we need to create expectancy, I think, sometimes in our life, but in the life of other people, right? When I encounter somebody that's addicted to drugs, you know what I tell them? I said, God is able to break that habit. God is able to deliver you from that. You know what I'm creating? Expectancy, just like John and Peter did. I don't say, bro, oh man, hey, whoa, sucks to be you. I mean, I don't approach it that way. That's not really the message. Because John and Peter said, no, you look at us. And it created an expectancy in the guy. I mean, the guy probably thought he's going to get what? Money. Right? I mean, that's, once again, his world had shrunk to the point he's like, they're probably going to give me a few bucks. And that's where some people are. I mean, that's okay. I mean, because of life has a way of just shrinking people's expectations. And so I think he thought, I'm just going to get a few bucks. But really, Peter's faith, what Peter does is he creates greater expectancy. And you and I, if we want to receive something from God, we have to have expectation. We need to expect God to move. If we don't expect God to move, He's not going to move. That's what really hope is. You read about hope in the Bible. What does hope mean? Hope means the expectation that God's going to move. That's what hope is. We need to wake up with hope. Man, God's going to do something today. And so those who have received, like John and Peter, right? They've received the power. And now they can use that power to create expectancy in somebody else, to raise that. There's been plenty of people here in our church that, you know, they went and this was said over them. This was said over them. There's no cure for what you got. Well, you got to understand that when you come to anybody in this church and you say, you know, I went to the doctor and they said, there's no cure for what I got. People don't say, oh, dude, man, we're going to have a good funeral for you. We don't operate that way. We don't operate that way at all. We create expectancy. Well, you know what? Doesn't matter. You're going to be the first then. You're going to be the first. So I don't know how. I don't know when. Doesn't matter. You're going to be the first. And we're expecting God's going to move. God's going to move in your life. And let's watch him do something miraculous. And then we'll give him the credit. We'll give him the glory. Right? That's why a lot of times I pray, Lord, do something miraculous as people are walking in. That way nobody can take credit. Because we're humans. Right? If I pray for you and something miraculous happened, somehow in the next conversation I have with people, I'm going to mention about how I prayed for you and you were healed. You know what I'm doing? Yeah, grandstanding. Getting a little credit for myself. Although I'm going to couch it in spiritual language. But that's why I said, Lord, when people come in here, let you touch them. You heal them. And that way nobody can take the credit. We'll give you the credit. Must have been God. Because nobody else touched you. It's always God. David said this in Psalm 62 about expectancy. He says, oh, my soul. He says, my soul waits silently for God alone. He's kind of speaking to himself. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He says, man, he's like, shh, I'm waiting for God to move, and God's going to move. That's what David is saying. He understood. I need God to move. So the first thing that the Unstoppable Spirit-Filled Church is, we move in expectancy, not only for ourselves, but for somebody else. Here's the second thing that I see in this portion of Scripture. The Unstoppable Church moves as an instrument of healing. As an instrument of healing. I'm going to adjust your thinking. I'm going to adjust the way you pray for other people. A lot of times the way we pray is we beg God. We're begging God to come and do something, especially when it comes to healing. The Lord never said, and we're going to see in Scripture, the Lord never said, beg me that I might heal somebody. You know what he said? He says, you go heal them. When he gave the assignment to the church, he gave the church the assignment to go heal people. Now, whose power is doing it? His power is. But we don't need to beg God, right? Not when he told us to go do it. Look in verse 6. So this guy, he comes and he's trying to get some money from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. The title of the sermon, nothing is something. You may not have anything. Spory talked yesterday about on the way back running into different people that were down and out. He was coming back from California. They stopped at a few rest stops. There's some people that down and out. So you can meet people like that and say, man, bro, I got nothing. See, but it doesn't end there, because God can take nothing and make something. Amen. See, that you always got to understand that. And so Peter and John, they're like, silver and gold I do not have. They could have said, bro, we'll catch you next week, right? I get paid next week. I'm gonna take a few bucks and we'll catch you next week. No, they knew if they got nothing, they still got something. Say, the silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. See, this verse has always puzzled me. I'm like, what did they have? What did they have, Lord? I want to know, what did they have? And whatever they have, do I have it? That's what I want to know. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What do they have? I put three things there, things that I think they have. Authority. Do we have authority? Yes, we do. They had faith. Do we have faith? Yes. You might say it's little. Okay, work on it. Don't be satisfied with where you are in your faith. They had authority, they had faith, they had power. Where was the power from? The Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. So it says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They didn't say, Lord, if you can find some time today, will you touch him? No, they were doing what Jesus said. He said, I'm sending you out. And he took, and talk about this, he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. The gift of faith, man. He knows God's going to move. He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles, they received strength. So this guy, he leaped up and he stood up and he walked and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping. He'd never done that before. Walking and leaping and praising the God. That's what people do in response to the miraculous. So here Peter admits, man, I've got nothing. Right? I've got nothing that you want. But I've got something that you need. See, sometimes people ask for the wrong thing. That's for the wrong thing. I'm sure you run into somebody, hey bro, can you spare a few bucks? They're asking for the wrong thing. See, because a few bucks will be used up in a day. Right? But you and I possess something beyond that. It's okay to give people a few bucks, but don't leave it there. Right? I'm about transforming lives. I'm about transforming life. Let's do more than just give them a few bucks. And so they gave him something that he needed. He needed healing. See, the disciples, they had received power. They had received authority. They knew they were called to be instruments just like you are of God's healing. Look at Matthew 10, 7 and 8. This was the assignment that was given to the disciples. And sometimes people say, well, that was just the disciples. Well, track it down. It was given to the disciples. It was given to the 70 and even beyond. Sometimes we want to limit it to something. We say, oh, we just want to limit it to the disciples. Then why did the Lord waste our time? If we're not to walk in this stuff, why did he waste paper? Right? Why is Paul telling us to follow his example? You know why he's telling us? Because we're supposed to follow his example. And what's the example? What did the Lord tell him to the disciples? He says, he sends them out preaching, right? And as you go preach, saying the following, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning, guess what? It's a new season. God's not mad at humanity anymore. God has begun his church, and his church has a reason to exist. says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, do the following. Heal the sick. He said, pray, you know, nothing wrong with praying. He said, get a big old prayer meeting going. Nothing wrong with a big old prayer meeting. We believe in that. But your assignment is you go do it. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. And he reminds them, freely you've received, freely give. Give it away. See, whatever you have in you, you receive freely. He says, and I meant for you to give it away. Give it away. Right? I prayed for somebody today. Right? I said, Lord, will you do this if you're in the neighborhood? Be healed. Be healed by the power of Him, right? Power of Jesus. We have the Spirit, so we're to reach out. We give people hope. We give people healing, right? We expand their way of thinking as to what's possible. We introduce them to God. We introduce them to Jesus. And then everything changes. The third thing that the Unstoppable Spiritual Church does is this. It moves in signs and wonders. Look at verse 9 and 10. And the people saw. So it's meant to be visible. It's not meant to be theoretical, visible. When you pray for someone and they're healed, it's visible. I've seen people healed before my very eyes. I've prayed for people and seen them healed for my very eyes. Some of you have seen someone raised from the dead in your very before your very eyes. Those are signs and wonders. Sign and wonder that God is here, God is active, and God wants to do something. So I always encourage you, man, if you pray for something and it happens, write it down, because you're going to forget in a couple weeks. It's human nature. We forget. So all the people saw him walking and praising God. Did they know this guy? Of course they did. For 40 years they'd seen him begging. They knew who he was. So the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms in the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So the people were convinced, right, that God's at work, that God is moving. And so if you go and read the rest of it, the people stuck around to listen to the message now. When you pray for someone, that's why at work, if someone presents a problem, don't miss the opportunity. You know what? I'm going to pray and God's going to move. Your great expectancy. And God's going to move. And when God moves, guess what? They'll for then listen. They're going to listen from now on. When I worked in government, tell you what, when stuff happened, whose office did they come into? My office. There'd be a line outside my office. They want to come talk to the holy man, right? At least that's the way they saw it. I love the way heathens thought. You're going to talk to the holy man. Oh, they say, you know, you have a direct line to the big guy upstairs, right? So I would identify them, who the big guy upstairs was. Let me tell you who the big guy upstairs is. But that'll happen, man. He preached after all these signs and wonders. Right? When people feel God's presence, I love to, even at work, would pray for people right there. I want them to feel the presence of God when I pray for them. They'll say, oh my gosh, I got all hot when you prayed for me. It's the presence of God. Right? I don't carry like a thermostat in me and turn it up. Hey, you know, it's the presence of God. It's the Lord doing it. I tell people the miraculous stuff that I've seen or been a part of. I tell them that. Because their world has shrunk to the point that they don't even know if God exists. They don't know if God exists, that God even moves, that God would even care. No, He exists, He moves, and He cares. And in fact, He cares about you. And so I want them to feel His presence, to see signs and wonders for themselves. You can never talk me out of the fact that Jesus is alive. You can never talk to me out of it. I've seen too much. Here's the four things about the Unstoppable Spiritual Church. It moves, you and I, we move as living witnesses. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your heart, meaning He's got to be special in your life. He can't be like everything else in your life. You say, you can't say, you know what, I love potato chips and a good latte and I love God. Somehow he's got to be more special than that. I know in the English language, we use love for everything, right? I had a couple tacos today for lunch. I love tacos. But, you know, God is more important to me than just that. Amen? So it says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Right? You and I are living witnesses. You and I have been touched by God, and we need to let other people know that we've been touched by God. It's not theory for us. It's not theory for us. Right? I share my testimony at work all the time. When I worked in government, because people were surprised. What? You used to be like that? Yeah, I used to be like that, but now I'm like this. And it wasn't because of a good self-help book. It was the power of God. He touched me, changed my life. Do you want to be changed? Right? And then he said, well, I'm a good guy. Right? I'm a good guy. You know what? I know you. No, you're not a good guy. Who are you kidding? You're funny. But you see, people in our day, they're still seeking alms, just like this guy. Well, we call it houses. We call it cars. We call it nice clothes. We call it nice careers. Nice school, nice money, extra money. I mean, we have to understand that the sky is all over around us. People think that that's what life is all about, chasing after those kind of things. I've chased after those kind of things. Guess what? They let you down after a while. But instead, what they need and what they don't need, know that they need, is really an encounter with God. That's why we invite them here. Only He alone satisfies. Only He alone. You know, I talked to somebody just yesterday, and they mentioned they invited a couple coworkers. And it's like, well, why do you invite coworkers? Because they want to come here and feel the presence of God. And I got invited by classmates. Classmates. I mean, I was as heathen as could be, just like you, right? Let me repeat that. I was as heathen as could be, just like you. Okay, good. Used to be. That's right. You're saints now. You're saints. You're right. You're saints. And I tell you what, when I encountered God, it changed my life. But had they not invited me as living witnesses? And I still remember the guy, one of the guys that invited me. He was the star football player in our school. And he was crazy. He did some crazy stuff. There weren't, I could tell you, but there's young people here about the crazy stuff that he did. Yeah, crazy stuff. But you know what? I saw him before my very eyes transform. The next thing he's doing Bible studies at his house. And he's inviting the whole school. I'm like, what happened to you? Come to my house and I'll tell you what happened to me. He was transformed. Right? He was a living witness. In fact, this was his testimony. He says, you know that I used to do this, this, this. You know how crazy I was. We're like, yeah. And he goes, now I'm crazy about God. So the church is the change agent that God chooses. You and I are. Right? That's how we change our community. You and I, we're the ones that God's going to use. So I want to finish by this, asking you this question. Are you like the lame man? Have you become like the lame man? Has your expectancy really, really narrowed? Or you would say, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. I have today no expectancy that God's going to use me. Well, I'm going to pray that God will expand that. That you, when you leave here, you will expect God to move, God to use you in the miraculous. That the next person that you encounter that is sick, you're not going to ask God to heal him. In fact, in Jesus' name, you're going to call him healed. Right? You say, that's scary. Of course it's scary. Faith is always scary. But you do it anyway. That you're going to watch signs and wonders, and you know you're going to tell other people that you're going to be a living witness. Amen? Amen. Everybody.